the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Len, sir, good afternoon. Welcome to the 12th ever CBP Nooner. I know we're under the gun here trying to get this done on our lunch hour. And the problem is we filled our schedule with such great content this week that we didn't have our contractually obligated interview show, sponsored interview show this week. So we're doing a Nooner. It's good to see you, buddy. Anyway, how are things over there?
All right. Yeah. Dirty Dozen, number 12. We haven't done this in a long time. Everything's good over here, aside from being still fuming about some recent decisions that were imposed on us. But other than that, I'm all right. I'm just still trying to clear my head and to gather my thoughts and figure out the best course of action. How are things over there with you, Joey?
Pretty good, buddy. Busy morning, taking French, as you know, and then took the dog out for a quick walk. Normally around 12:30, I would try and like get down for like a tiny little nap, given that I wake up so early to lift weights. But not today, buddy. You have to wait till after work because you and me got another Bear Cave to record tonight. Anyway, let's talk about our sponsor, shall we? ShakePay, best place for Canadians to buy and never sell Bitcoin. A couple of things going on. They got the Shake Paid right now, where if you use your CAD card, you can get your entire purchase comped in Satoshis. Unbelievable. They got Shaking Sats. You sign up with our promo code, Charlie Beta Peter. You can shake your phone every day for 1,000 sats after a year, which is dope. And they just keep funneling those to you in little increments every day on the way up to 1,000. So don't forget to wake and shake. They got, of course, the Sats Back card. So if you spend 2%, or if you spend off your CAD balance, the first 5,000, you get 2% back. And then every dollar after that, you get 1% back, all in Satoshis. Finally, land the Shake Squads, where every person in your squad that spends money during the day adds to a pool, 42 sats per purchase, and everyone in your squad gets that after the fact. Plus, Len, of course, if you use our promo code to sign up, you get $30 on your first $100 buy. You can't beat that. 30% back. It's not bad at all. What do you got?
I hope you're racking up a lot on the Shake Squads, because that's going to impact who's going to win shirts moving forward for our contest. But since you're already buying a lot of Bitcoin from ShakePay, well, why not put some of that or all of it on Ledin and earn some interest? And if you open up an account with our promo code below, you'll be able then to get 10 USDC after you put 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on their platform for 15 consecutive days. And also, right now, I would hope everybody has a big stack of Bitcoin, and I'm hoping not everybody has a lot of bills to pay, but if they do and they need some money and don't want to sell their Bitcoin, well, Ledin's there to help you out, where you can borrow against your Bitcoin. It will be a 50% loan to value. That's the maximum that you'll be able to get. So they'll give you some money for just putting on your Bitcoin on their network and borrow against it. Also, price of Bitcoin, is it going up? It's debatable. I think so. A lot of people don't. But if you think it's going up, you could use the B2X option, where you can double up your Bitcoin stack. And if you do this right, time it correctly, and you pull out once the price gets high enough, well, you have more Bitcoin than when you first started, thanks to timing the market and using the B2X feature. And last thing they do have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, but not available everywhere. So make sure you check their website to see where that's being offered. But also, when you're there, check to see what are the interest rates for the savings and borrowing rates, because those change on a month-to-month basis.
Absolute desperation here from the president, which we'll talk about shortly. But Len, we should mention this is, of course, a presentation of CBP Media, which I continue to forget to say off the top, but I'll eventually get used to it. So what are we talking about today? We're, like I said, we're a little under the gun for time. There's a big announcement coming today, 2:15 Eastern, that's already starting to leak out. What's up?
So it appears that President Joe Biden is going to freeze student loan repayments yet again for 4 months. And this is going to be the eighth time since March 2020 that this is going to be done. There's also potential of a carrot that could be dangled, where there could be some forgiveness for student loans. But still, this is yet to be decided as of recording of this video. And really, Joey, we talk about this often.
I got to cut you off. USA Today reporting 21 minutes ago that there will be forgiveness of $20,000 with a cap of $125,000 of income. So I'm assuming if you make $125,000 per year, you don't get the $20,000 in forgiveness. But if you make less, you're going to get $20,000 of your debt forgiven. So that's brand new, 20 minutes old on USA Today.
So When I look at anything that comes out from anybody's mouth when they're in power, I try to look at it two viewpoints. Is it good policy or is it good politics? And generally, it falls under one of the two. And sometimes it falls under both as being a yes and a no. In this case, this is, I think, a resounding no for both good policy and good politics. I'm not sure if this type of policy is going to resonate well with the majority of voters. So this is something that could bite them in the rear end. So as for good policy, obviously this is going to just run up their debt load that they have right now. You're essentially socializing the debt. If you can't afford the school that you go to, if you know that you are going to come out with a large load of debt and it's going to be difficult to pay, you should reassess what you're doing, what you're taking, where you're taking it. And maybe even that particular school may not be for you. Maybe something down the road you should be looking at as something doing. Like, it's stupid where people are going into this, jumping in both feet into the waters of debt and expecting things will be nice and rosy at the end of the day. It's not the case. You're not going to get an automatic job that's going to pay you six figures once you complete your degree. Even I think medical doctors probably don't even get that nowadays. I think you still have to go through residency and still you're getting paid a pittance during that time. So there's nothing that is going to give you guaranteed money at the end of the day. So that's bad politics, bad policy, Joey.
I think you're right. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the following, that, you know, this is really, it's stimulative in nature because typically what you would see are the people who, and I'm going to probably get myself into some trouble here making assumptions, but I'm going to do it anyway, because if we're not getting in trouble making content, what are we really doing? So I think that the people who make less than 125K a year, is it safe to say, Len, that if you went to college for 4 years and you have the student loan outstanding, that maybe part of the problem is that you made a poor decision in taking the degree and you know, the next logical step, at least in my mind, is that you may also make poor decisions other places in your life when it comes to money and risk appetite. Is that fair to say, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're not. Yeah. I don't think it's that far a reach either. And so I think what we're doing here is giving people who are most likely to be irresponsible with the relief that they, you know, I'm going to say it, don't deserve. And probably instead you're going to get the opposite reaction from these people. Instead of putting more money on their debt or you know, helping them with the interest payments, given the principal would be, you know, significantly decreased, at least in some cases. I don't know exactly what that $20,000 does for a lot of people, but I suspect that what you're going to get is much the same result that you got with the stimulus checks and other monetary expansion policies over the last 2 years. You're going to get people acting irresponsibly. We've seen government, specifically in the United States, and I would also argue in Canada, unfortunately, try to paint a rosier picture of what they're calling the retail balance sheet, people's household savings, you know, their credits versus their debits, for example, and trying to paint this rosy picture of savings rates. And if you're getting an extra $20,000, chances are, you know, you're in that bracket of people who need it, right? We talked about that, but also you're in this bracket of people who have very little savings as it is, I would guess, because I think that it's probably much the same group. And so let me ask you, do you think that given, you know, what you said, that this isn't going to please the people who really want the whole basket of debt relieved, and also not going to please people who already paid off their debt, do you think this is the last bit of student debt relief we're going to see? And then after that, I want to talk about the delay in payments, the moratorium.
I don't think so. The first question, no, this is probably going to be more to come. If they're willing to do this now, what's going to stop them from doing this moving forward? And I just want to touch base just a little bit. The people that did get into this massive debt, and there are people that didn't, but there's a number of people that did with six figures debt. I did some research. So apparently if you do schooling within state, you are the fees, the tuition fees are much less than it is out of state fees. So the fact that people are probably that accumulated a lot of this debt probably went to out-of-state college. And why are they doing this? Is it because of that university gives them the college experience that they want to experience through life? I think there's some questions that need answering. But if it's ultimately you're trying to achieve the degree, why not go to an in-state school and get the same type of piece of paper? Granted, not from the same institution, but same piece of paper. And if that's what employers are looking for, why not do that? It seems to be the more cost-effective route of doing it. So, yeah, so that's to answer your first question in a long about way. The second one, go ahead. I mean, this is a...
Well, let's discuss it. Yeah, it is very, it's very interesting. And like you mentioned, is it good policy or good politics? I think both are don't fall into either bracket. And I think about the moratorium, again, vis-a-vis this lens of rosy economic outlook from the United States and Canada and other places. But we'll talk about the U.S., obviously, since this is a Biden White House policy position. This is not indicative of a healthy economy. What this is indicative of is desperation leading into the midterms. I think that Biden's Democrats have really fumbled the chance to turn what was a clearly economic discussion into a social one, one that's more about feelings than facts, with the abortion rights being kicked back to states for decision. They fumbled that here, and they've made it economic once again with this policy position. You would have been better off leaving it until either right before the midterm and make it a, you know, a huge deal. But now what you're doing is announcing you're going to relieve the 20K, and no one's going to be happy with it. And so you've gone from what I think the Democrats would have liked to have done is have this abortion debate be front and center at the midterm elections, or for the midterm election cycle. But instead, I think this is going to be part of the debate now too. And I suspect that a lot of people are going to be upset, like you mentioned, with the sort of stopping short on the policy side as far as how much debt gets relieved. And that's a giveaway in my view. I mean, you're a little more politically savvy than me, but I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, because I think the way I look at this is there's either emotional debates or policy debates when it comes to election time. And very often the two collide. And this is an example of a collision that the Democrats, I think, really fumbled.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I just want to point out is that the fact that they're going to be forgiving this, what is it, 21,000, you were saying? That's
20K,
the number?
Yeah.
20K. Doesn't really do anything. If this was done today versus 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now, does it really change anything? If ultimately, if you are putting a pause on the payment of the student loan, that should be sufficient enough. But now increasing or not, so socializing this and saying everybody's going to get, or a portion of people are going to get 20K off their student loans, what does that do? Does it elevate those particular individuals to a point where now they could buy homes, they could buy cars, no, or they could, no, like it's changing nothing in the end. That extra 20,000, I don't think was the straw that broke the camel's back. There's more to it than that. It's maybe the debt in totality.
Not to mention, like you said, that no one's been paying the loans anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, if they're going to keep kicking the can, then yeah, what's the, you know, day to day or at the end of the month for the balance sheet, as it's called, what's the difference for the average person? Nothing.
Agreed. Yeah. The only thing I could see that it might make an impact is if they're applying for some debt, for example, like a mortgage or something, they'd look at all the debt they have accumulated there. So the student debt included, and if it's less, and maybe it would be sufficient enough to get a home. But again, is that the threshold at 20,000 enough to make a majority of people, even a small number of people, from not being able to buy a home to now being able to buy a home? Is this going to put them in a situation that their life is going to be much, much better? No. Just keep the debt repayments, keep pausing that. I can't even believe I'm saying it. That may be the better of the two evils here, and just continue down that path and see what can be done. I mean, again, when you sign a piece of paper saying that you're going to repay a debt and you forgive them for that, what lesson did they learn? You go to school to learn something. This is now the school of life, and they've learned absolutely nothing. Next time they accumulate a large part of debt, are they going to come out to Uncle Sam and say, please forgive it again? Like, I made another stupid decision. You can't continually do that. This is not the way the world operates. You make a decision, follow through with it. If you can't, fucking, you did the wrong decision to declare bankruptcy and start again.
Other thing to consider is that the universities really should have hell to pay through all this, high schools as well in the United States, for advising their kids to go to college no matter what, take whatever bird degree you can, because at the end of the, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the program length is, you're going to have more employment opportunities and be better off in the real world. The fact of the matter is that's not true. There's way too many people out there who are doing bird jobs after completing, you know, even more bird degrees. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, I think about my own background then, like I'm a poli-sci major from a, like, you know, relatively respected Canadian university, I think, these days. And, you know, I haven't used my degree for anything short of making sure I check a box on an application requirements, right? Do you have a post-secondary degree? Yay or nay. If you do, you get to apply to the higher earning jobs. Question is, is that going to be the case forever? And also, I think what we're seeing now, if you want to talk about like productivity output in the United States, a lot of people say it's at an all-time low. This is exactly why, because we're churning out, I say we're, they're churning out morons who think they're, you know, they're overestimating their education and underestimating the need for continued growth, both personally and you know, academically, professionally, whatever. It's a disaster. I do think, though, that the universities, just to get back to that, should have some price to pay here, because they're the ones who are constantly advocating for more help for students to go to colleges. And what do? We talked about this recently with the story about electric cars, right? Some subsidies on EVs in the States were met with an identical increase in price by Ford, for example. If you subsidize cost, you're going to get bubbles. It happens everywhere. Real estate, healthcare, education, you name it. Anywhere where there's significant government help, either because of the terms of the loan or because of subsidies for paying, the cost just goes up because that money's guaranteed by the spigot, right? By the fiat spigot. So I don't know. I guess we'll wrap with this question I got for you. And then I'll answer this one or one you got for me. You know, if you were at the press conference today, what would you ask Corinne Jean-Pierre? Because she'll be answering some hard questions today for sure. So what would you ask KJP?
Why? What's the rationale? And what are you going to tell the people that have paid off their student loan debt and now they're watching their peers potentially go away on vacation and all that shit, rack up debt and get a little bit of it wiped off their record? What do you tell them?
Yeah, I think that's true. I would also, I hope that my spirit animal, Peter Ducey, asks Corinne Jean-Pierre when she says, well, Peter, we want to make sure that people who needed the help got the help. I want Ducey to bring something up about the unintended consequences that this sort of thing causes additional inflationary pressures and steals even more from people who have already had their wages completely debased by U.S. monetary policy. He probably won't, because that's a difficult thing to get onto a Twitter video. But I would love to hear somebody ask that question, because clearly this is a problem that the Biden administration recognizes as an issue. And I am sure that's at least one of the 5,000 PhD economists working for the Biden administration has pointed this out somewhere in some paper, whether since working at the White House or before in academia or before that even, who knows, right? I'd be curious to hear what they say, because to me, you're really stealing from these same people that you're, you know, claiming you're giving $20,000 to, because the inflationary pressure will continue to accelerate through this policy choice, and it'll bury those people even more. Let's see what gets asked. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? I got like a couple minutes here if you want to do something else.
You mentioned that you talked some of the responsibility has to fall on high schools and even universities/colleges. Ultimately, the universities and colleges, they are businesses in the end. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to pad their pocketbook as much as possible. So while they are at fault, it just, you have to understand the business model that they present. And it's unfortunate that they are indeed a business, but this is just the reality of it. In fact, if you look at companies that are traded, publicly traded, Apple, they're sitting at about $200 billion in cash, which is a heck of a lot. Alphabet, around $160 billion. These are a lot of money for very, very big companies. But if you look at big universities like Harvard, their endowment is over $50 billion for a school that is just located in one particular part of the world. Apple, you could go to every Apple store in just about every country in the world. Harvard is one spot. You know, it's in Massachusetts. That's it. It's there. That's good luck. So, and for them to rack up $50 billion goes to show you how lucrative of a business it is to get into the world of education. And I'm going to leave it at that. People could connect the dots there to understand why it is people have so much debt and student loan debt. And it's a sad state of reality, and it's too bad.
Spot on as always, brother. Good to talk to you here midday. Nice break in the workday for you and me. So we'll put this out ASAP. And if it gets out today, Wednesday, are we putting this out Wednesday? Sometime
Friday. This is a good Friday, man. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have a show this afternoon.
Holy
tomorrow.
Fuck, shows every day. Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Tomorrow we're doing the Tom and Nick, Your Life, Your Terms podcast. And so let's release this on Friday, just like the regular old Nooners. Yeah.
Okay. You'll all know more than us by then anyway. So take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.